This episode is brought to you by Roundtree's, who have transformed your favourite ice lolly flavours into delicious fruity sweets. Just imagine, chewy sweets inspired by the mouthwatering taste of juicy fruit pastel lollies. Perfect for eating whenever, wherever. Also available in zingy sour watermelon and tropical mango lolly flavours. New Roundtree's lollies. Lolly treats now in sweets. Grab a share bag today.
I remember just dreaming big all the time. I remember even telling one of my teachers, like in middle school, like, look, you know, you can say whatever you want about me and my attention or my work when it comes to class, or I'm about to be someone special and none of this will matter. I felt like I had something. I just didn't know quite what it was. I want to get into music. I don't really quite know how to make music. I kind of figured it out, and I was obsessed with cannabis and figured out how I could work at a dispensary and just kind of put my foot in there as always, just stay dedicated to whatever I want to do and just figured out the hard way.
Hey everyone, welcome to How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. Today's guest is Burner, the co-founder and CEO of Cookies, which is one of, if not the most recognized cannabis brands in the world. He's also a Billboard charting hip-hop artist. And I don't want to waste too much time on this intro because he has a new book out, Becoming Legend, The Billion Dollar Blueprint to Be a Whale in a Sea of Sharks. That is one hell of a title. Welcome, Burner.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Great to talk to you. Love the tattoo right there on your hand. Got the brand represented right there. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
I wonder if you could give us just kind of an update on the legal status of cannabis, because I know it's legal, but on a federal level, maybe not so much. So where does everything stand?
We're just waiting for the people to make the right decision. It's still federally illegal here in the United States, and hopefully that changes soon. I know there was some talk about changing the schedule, but I'm not sure if that's going to be pushed through anytime soon. But yeah, we're waiting for the good changes to happen here.
I mean, what does that mean for you? Operating at the scale that you're operating at. What kind of problems does that present with it being like technically, you know, no one's arresting anyone, but technically it's not legal? Like, what does that mean for you?
Yeah, for me, it's nothing new. I've been operating in the gray area for a long time. You have to understand, I've been in the medical business since I've been 18 years old. So at a very young age, I was in the medical area, and it just was the same thing, gray area. You know, there's really no protection. So I'm used to it. But really what it really means for us right now is that we don't get the benefits as other businesses do, right? Like writing off employees, expenses, stuff like that. We can't really bank that easily. We have to use credit unions, and it's not as simple as things should be.
Yeah, right. And I remember back in the day hearing stories about, you know, people hiring, ex-Navy SEALs and stuff like that to take care of their cash and all that kind of stuff. I assume you're beyond that level of having to deal with this.
We are now. Yeah. In the very beginning, it was a little tough. We had to be creative, and we definitely have some stories like that. But, you know, now it's a little more straightforward. Just have to deal with credit unions, and some banks bank cannabis. But I think the like writing off of expenses and just, you know, the cost to operate a business just needs to change. It needs to be a fair business for us. We're paying good taxes. Why should we not be treated like a regular business?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into a little bit of, you know, your backstory and the growth of Cookies. So you started, as you said, when you're 18 years old. You were a rapper long before Cookies became a global brand. Can you kind of talk to us about the moment, if there was a moment where you just went, hey, you know what? This could be like a real company and a real big company.
Yeah. So, you know, I started off in the medical area when I was 18, and I started noticing that people, whether they be off-duty cops, nurses, teachers, just all different walks of life, enjoyed cannabis. And the one thing that is a very common thing that I've seen every day is that vendors would come in with products with no branding at all. And it'd be up to us to make the logos, to display the product, and to kind of merchandise it and sell. I'm like, you know what? This is going to be big one day. And when it becomes like, you know, mainstream and kind of goes all around the world, I want to be the first to have a brand, because I think whoever has a brand first is going to succeed. And that was my goal. That was my vision. And I think that really kind of hit home when I found the name Cookies, when I designed the logo for Cookies, and kind of using music and the clothing and the canvas all at the same time to kind of push each other. But it was a big moment for us. Like, you know, when I started really building the brand of cookies. You know, I always kind of knew what I wanted to do, but once I found the name and I found the identity and I designed the logos, I knew exactly what time it was.
So you write about that extensively in the book, this need to have like a clear vision. So can you get in the weeds a little bit more about like cookies? You know, such a great name. It sounds comforting. It sounds delicious. You know, I love the way it looks. Can you talk about how that evolved and how you even came upon that name, Cookies?
Yeah. So, you know, the name came from the strain. One of the most popular strains we had was the Girl Scout Cookies. And obviously you can't call it Girl Scout Cookies. You probably have some legal trouble. So yeah. Call the cookies for short. But I think that when thinking about building a brand, I'm like, okay, you want something that sounds familiar, that sounds friendly, that sounds welcoming, that sounds that people would know all around the world, right? Something that could look and feel like it's been seen before, something that feels familiar. And you also want a kind of a colorway to identify that brand, even if you can't put the logo on things, even if you just want to be sly and slick about it. So when thinking about developing the brand, I thought about all those things. I'm like, you know, cookies is a great name for a brand. Everyone knows what a cookie is, right? When designing it, I'm like, look, this has to feel and look like someone's seen it before. Like they just know what it is already, you know? And that's kind of what we aim for, and that's what we did.
You know, as everyone knows, there was this sort of like massive gold rush when cannabis was starting to be legalized in states. How did you separate yourself in the minds of consumers like out of the gate?
Well, being first always helped, right? Like being first is like, it's like a stamp. You get to plant your flag and kind of let everyone know you're here. I think the biggest thing we did was genetics. Like we had some of the best genetics ever when we rolled out. Like you have to think about the original Girl Scout cookies, the cherry pie, the sunset sherbet, the gelatos, the biscottis. We pretty much like planted our flag early with incredible genetics, staple genetics that kind of touched the whole world. You know, people started getting their hands on it, started sharing it with people. And I think what really made us different than everyone else is I had the megaphone with the music. So like we're able to do things. I was able to document it, share it on my platform, kind of let the world see it, and then became tangible, however it became tangible. So I think planting that seed, using the megaphone and having something that was unique and different as far as like flavor and, you know, profiles go, as far as when you smoke and enjoy cannabis, it really may have stood out.
For someone like me who doesn't really know how this all works, can you talk to us a little bit about like how you go about developing different strains?
Yeah. So first thing first, you have to kind of know your flavor profiles, right? What tastes like what smells like what, how does it make you feel? What do you like? What do you enjoy about those strains? Right. I guess like from there, like you have to kind of know what market trends are, what's trending in the market, what do people like, what do they not like, what's missing. So when it comes to developing new strains of herb, you have to breed, which is like kind of having a baby. You have to hunt through the seeds and see what characteristics you like, which what you don't like, and through that process you'll find, you know, what the next strain is. So it's pretty much like making a baby in a way.
That's wild. Yeah. And was like, you know, botany something that you were always like secretly a geek about, or is this stuff that you learned on the job?
No, I kind of knew the right people that are doing that when I met them. When I first got in the game, I met some breeders that were doing that, and I kind of like fell in love with the process. It's one thing to love good weed, but to be able to develop and art direct and kind of curate new weeds is amazing. So I get to play the background and say, I really like this one right here, and I would love to see if we reverse this one and took this pollen, put in these three right here, what would come out of each one of these? And I'm able to kind of like art direct from the background. I actually prefer that. I'm not great in the grow room myself. I never really had to get my hands dirty, in that field. But I love to work with breeders. I love to work with cultivators. And my specialty and what I do best is curating menus, selecting menus, naming varieties, branding them, and rolling them out. That's what my strength is.
That's cool. So yeah, I wonder, you mentioned we've talked a little bit about music, but it is a huge part of your life, and I wonder, you know, what lessons did you take from the music industry in the streetwear industry that you were able to carry over to, you know, to cookies?
Marketing, branding, and rollout. I tell people that if we're going to launch a new flavor in New Jersey, treat it like an album. Treat it like it's like a big moment, right? Like it's all about marketing and branding, 100%. As much as people don't like to hear that, it really is. Like there's so many good cultivators and good breeders around the world that never get a chance to share their work because they don't really understand marketing or branding.
You write a lot in your book about, you know, leveraging the power of the people around you, your network. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like what does that look like in practical application?
Yeah. So understand what you're good at. Like I just named my strengths, right? Like what is my strengths? What do I do best? Cool. well, who's the best at breeding right now, right? Who's the best breeder out there with the best varieties? Who's the best at cultivation, right? Who's the best at documenting things? I kind of go pick people that's great at what they do. We build little teams around things that we do, right? So whether it be music, whether it be clothing, whether it be breeding and selecting herb, I try to find people that's great at what they do and kind of build a team around that, right? Kind of understanding what you do good, what you don't do good, and building a team and working together is key for all that.
As a chef, I know flavor doesn't begin in the kitchen. It begins on the land. And Westholme's nature-led Australian Wagyu is a story written in the landscape of Northern Australia. Cooking is storytelling, and Westholme Wagyu carries a story of Northern Australia itself. Raw, powerful, and deeply authentic. It's a testament to the passion and care raised in the rhythm of Northern Australia. I'm Chef Maylin from 88 Club in Los Angeles, and I invite you to visit westholme.com/Maylin to learn more. And taste a story only Westholme nature-led Australian Wagyu can tell. That's westholme.com/Meilin.
And what about you? I mean, you put yourself like front and center of this brand, and there's a lot of founders who are a little hesitant to do that because they feel like, oh, it's not about me, it's about my product, or I don't know, maybe they're shy, or maybe they think, oh, who cares about me? But what advice would you give to someone who has that kind of mindset about what you've seen that you did with your brand?
It's important. I feel like when there's someone behind a brand, they get to invest in the brand a little more, especially the person, the founder's journey. But one thing I would give advice to is like, it's not easy. It's tough. When things go wrong, it falls on you. Yeah. Even if there's things out of your control, like if we have a licensee in a different market that's not doing the best work, it falls on you. Forget the licensee, forget the cultivator, forget the store that they went and had a bad experience on. It's on you, right? So you have to be prepared for the ups and downs. But I think overall it's very beneficial to be a face and a founder and be public about what you're doing, because if you do it right and you're passionate and you bring people inside your world and you show them how you build what you build from A to Z, they'll be a lot more invested in your journey.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And it actually leads me to, so we get listener questions, and we have an interesting one today, because on the back of your book, you've got a blurb from Jason Pfeiffer. He was the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Mm-hmm. And he, big fan of your book, big fan of you. And he says, you know, something that you did remarkable isn't just that you're selling products, but you're inviting people to be a part of this community. Yeah. And what advice do you have for people who are maybe working in a less glamorous industry or less fun industry about building that community and building that loyalty and that sense of being together?
It's super important. The more involvement people feel they have with your business or something that you develop or something that you roll out, something that you put out, the more invested they are in it, right? So if you put something up, you say, what do you guys think about this? Or I have three different options. Which one do you guys like more? Like, hey, come do a community tasting with me. I got a bunch of new selections. Let's pick this one together. Let's name it together. People are like, I was a part of that. It's big, right? They get to wear it on their sleeve a little more than they would, you know, if they hadn't been a part of it. So I've always invited people to be a part of what I do, whether it be selecting beats or like if I go live and say, listen, guys, I'm listening to this beat. What do you guys think about it? The more you can involve people in your process, the more invested you're going to be. And I feel like that's been a cheat code for me, whether it be talking to people in the comments, in my Instagram posts, or back in the days, MySpace posts or Twitter posts, are involving people to come here and taste new genetics with me, or just like simply ask people, what do you guys think about this, right? Like the more you involve people, the more invested they're going to be in what you do. I think it's very important to involve the community, because what are we without the people that support us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, going back in the day, like I wonder, you know, when you were growing up, when you were in high school, like, did you envision that this was going to be your life? Like what did you set out to do, and how'd you get to where you are now?
I remember just dreaming big all the time. I used to think I was going to be Kurt Cobain's roadie. I used to think that I was going to be in the studio with big artists I would listen to at the time. I remember even telling one of my teachers, like in middle school, like, look, you know, you can say whatever you want about me and my intention or my work when it comes to classwork. I'm about to be someone special, and none of this will matter. And I just was always like thinking that I was going to be somebody somehow, some way, shape, or form. And I don't know what the hell that was. I don't know why I felt that, but I was kind of dreaming big. And I always knew that like I had a certain kind of aura around me that like when I was around people, they're interested in what I was doing and how I felt and what I thought. I'm like, this is pretty interesting. So I felt like I had something. I just didn't know quite what it was. And I just followed my heart. You know, I want to get into music. I don't really quite know how to make music. I kind of figured it out. And I was obsessed with cannabis and figured out how I could work at a dispensary and just kind of put my foot in there as always, just stay dedicated to whatever I want to do and just figured out the hard way.
That's great. I love that. So I love the title of one of your chapters. No is code for negotiate. Can you give us some of your top tips for making things happen when you're getting a no or disinterest or, you know, just a flat out no thanks?
Yeah, so it's important to say, like, sometimes no means no. It's like, you know, if someone says no and you're doing something they don't like, just stop, right? But when it comes like business or negotiations or you're trying to get something done like as a favor, you know, whatever it may be, like, remember the first thing first, people are human beings, right? And so if you kind of lay it out differently, like, hey, can I get a table here? The restaurant's full. No, there's no tables. All right, you clearly see some tables. This person's a person here. You know, look, I traveled pretty far. We had a rough day on the road. I would love to be able to sit down. We'll be fast. We already know what we want. Here's $300. Can we sit down? Cool. Maybe I'll do it, right? So it's like there's ways to get people. You know, I had a situation in my chapter where I try to go do a video with Chris Brown and Wiz Khalifa and Big Crit at this racetrack, right? And I called and the guy said, no, it's not possible. I said, can I come see you in person? If you want to hear no in person, pull up. So I pulled up, you know, 2-hour drive and sat down with him and told him why it was important that I got this done. And he heard me as a human being, why it was important to me, how it could change my life. And, you know, we all have hearts. And so if you're pitching something that's pure and you don't have any kind of ill intentions, you're smooth about the way you do it, you definitely change someone's mind. A lot of time it's just business too. Like, you know, you want to get something done and the price is this and you want to try to get done for this and you have to leverage. Like, no, sometimes it's just like a quick answer someone can give you because they don't want to talk about things or through things. But I've gotten a lot of things done when people say no. I've had samples that was denied. Like, I wanted to try to clear a sample for music and they said no. And I explained to them, this is why I want the sample cleared. This is what the song meant to me. And this is why it's going to be big. And I feel like every time I talk things through with people in a situation like that, it always ended up working out for me.
Yeah, that's such great advice. Cause, and I've said this before, but I feel like, you know, our instinct, or we sit behind a computer, we send an email, maybe we send a text, but that face-to-face, you can't beat it.
That message from the heart. You call someone and say, hey, I'd like to have my carpets cleaned on Saturday. Well, we're busy. We can't get there till Thursday. Well, look, I got some family coming in. I would love to give you guys a nice tip. Can we make it happen? I'm open to work at any kind of hours. You know, my house looks crazy. I want my parents in law, my in-laws to think I'm nuts. Yeah, you know what? You're a funny guy. I'll pull up. We'll do it tomorrow at 8 a.m. Just shoot us a tip. Cool. So it's always a way to get things done. I always, even when I call restaurants, right, it's just like to-go orders. And they don't have another menu anymore. There's always ways to get things done if you just kind of talk it through, right?
That's great.
Be kind.
How does that extend to, I mean, you've got a pretty massive operation. So how does that extend to the way you kind of lead your operation, the people that work for you? How do you kind of keep everyone on the same page, doing what you want to do, preserving your brand, but also giving them room to, you know, to stretch their wings a little bit?
Yeah, it's tough. Brand preservation is everything for me right now in the chapter of my life. You know, we went really big, really fast. Some things slipped through the cracks, some things did not. So I'm just trying to preserve the brand as much as possible. Also give independent operators their freedom to be operator, right? Like, they don't want to just listen. We're not a franchise, so there's no like rule on how to do things 100%. I'd love to have some kind of guidelines to protect the brand. So just kind of like a fine balance right now.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we've mentioned your music. I mean, you've got... I lost count. It was over 40 albums on Spotify at my last count. And these are albums, not songs. You know, these are big works. Where does that creativity come from? Is it something that you just can't stop doing? Is it just something that flows out of you naturally?
Yeah, music is kind of like my therapist. It's my passion. It's my it's a way to get things off my chest. And the way I do it, it's very, very different than a lot of people. A lot of people sit there and think about a jingle for a long time and they think about a catchy hook and they kind of build around that. I go in the studio for a week and bang an album. I'm like, okay, life has been lifing lately. I need to go to the studio in LA. I go to LA for 7 days. I bang out 14 songs, right? And that's those songs come out. I'm not the kind of guy to hide things or hold things or let me have some things in the background and release. If I make work, I release work. I have over 46 albums out. And I feel like it's almost like a journal of my journey. And you could tell the growth when you listen to things back from 2007 to now, right? Like the conversation is different. The things I'm talking about are different. Of course, I have like a Bay Area hustler, like kind of style of music that's like, you know, very very unique, but I kind of own my lane and I love it. And I'm going to keep doing it as long as people want to hear it.
During those down, you know, when things are going great, that's great. But as you said, there's inevitably going to be problems. What's your method for working through those problems without like going sideways too fast?
Yeah, just transparency with your customers as much as you can. You know, I'm really excited about the book because I'm able to talk about some of the stuff that we've been going through that I have not been able to talk about publicly. So it's going to be good for people to hear my side of things. But you got to be transparent with your customers. And you have to just remember, like, look, you chose this life. And if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, right? So you have to be able to put out fires, manage things as best you can, and keep strong. Keep your brand, you know, on fire as much as you can. Just like, I don't know, I feel like I deal with things pretty well now. I've been going through things for a while now, and I feel like I always tell myself three things. One, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. Two, you know, it's not harder than chemotherapy. So that's my latest thing. Is like, you know what, this has nothing on chemotherapy, so I'm going to push through it, right? I think three, just remember why I'm here. Like, I love what I do, and any problem could be fixed if you have the right, you know, right intentions. So I just try to push through things these days.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the chemotherapy. You've been through a lot, obviously, and thank God you're doing well. What is the connection in your mind between, you know, mental and physical health? Because that's such a big topic for people who choose to do very stressful things.
Mental health is super important. Like, you know, you never really think that if you're in shape and you're working out and you're eating clean, that your mental can affect your body, and vice versa. If you're super sharp minded and you're not really stressed over things, your body can affect your mental. So it's important to keep both intact. I struggle with my diet. I'm a foodie by nature, and I live in San Francisco, some of the best food in the world out here. But just trying to keep my mental and my health in check right now. I had colon cancer at 38 years old, and I could have died if I didn't find it. And, you know, ASAP, they said another 6 months to a year without dressing, I would have been dead in a year. Wow. And I seen people, and I met people on my journey that are no longer here that were in better shape than me or in the same position as me. And I'm actually going to go speak at the City Hall tonight for colorectal cancer awareness. And, you know, it's crazy. Colorectal cancer now is the biggest killer for people under 50 when it comes to cancer. I'm more aware of that than ever. And I just try to avoid processed foods as much as I can, even when on the road and things get tempting for a few months of being bad. I got to clean it back up and put yourself in check. So for entrepreneurs out there, your rest and your mind is just as important as your body, and your body is even more important than your mind and your rest.
Yeah. Oh, well, amen to that. That's very well said, and very cool that you are out there trying to educate people to help them stay on top of this. Cause yeah, your health is everything. Is there anything from this book that you are really like anxious for people to read and understand? I'm sure you get a lot of questions, a lot of people who looking to pick your brain. I want to do this, I want to do that. Like, what's the overall message you want to put out there?
You know, for the last 3 years, we've been under a big attack litigation-wise, and I've had to stay silent about it. You know, I don't know if you know how it goes, but in litigation, when you're in arbitration, you can't really talk about anything. And it's been really hard for me because I'm a very transparent guy, like I mentioned, and I just want my fans to understand what we've been dealing with. And I address some of that in this book, and I cannot wait for them to read that because I think they're going to respect who I am and what I've done when they read that and understand what we've been dealing with. It's been very, very difficult. It's been very, very tough. And people try to take my shit, and I've been fighting for it very hard. And there's certain things that slipped through the cracks the last few years. I don't want them to think it was intentional, or I just don't care. I've been dealing with some crazy things that were out of my control, but if I get things are back in control and in my hands now, I would love for people to understand what we've been dealing with. So I'm excited about that.
Pick it up. It's called Becoming Legend. And now, you know, normally we would do a speed round of questions, but I want to do something a little different from you, a game I just invented as you were talking. We're going to call it match the weed to the need. So you are a connoisseur. You are great at picking the right strain for the right job. So I'm going to give you some situations, and you tell me what would do me good. So let's just say we'll start with some bad news. I just got fired from my job.
You need some Gary Payton.
Gary Payton.
Okay. It's very heavy. It's very strong. It's going to erase that little mental fog you have right there. You just got fired. You need to sit down, smoke some Gary, sit on the couch, and just relax. And it's going to force you to get a nice tub of ice cream and watch some Netflix for sure.
I'm eating a meatball parm, and a meatball fell on my new cookies hoodie.
Yeah, you probably just want to go ahead and smoke some Skittles because it's a very nice, vibrant high. It's going to make you forget about the stain real quick. You'll be happy. You'll feel real good and light on your feet. You're not going to worry about the stain no more.
Excellent. All right. I just started a side hustle and I banked my first $10,000 from it. Ooh. How do I celebrate?
That's nice. You need some blueberry caviar, a very rich tasting weed. It's very elegant, unique. And they're going to smell blueberry in there when you're puffing on it. That's a celebratory weed right there for sure.
Awesome. And I just found out that Burner dropped a new single and it's time to go listen to it.
Yeah, you probably need some, you're probably going to want some Saint-Tropez. It's a very good, like funky, gassy, get you in the mood, get your heart beating a little bit so you can really soak in that music and kind of ride to it and fuck around. Yep.
Perfect. And then finally, this is for you. This interview I've been doing for the past half hour is just about over. Now I can go relax.
Yeah, I'm probably going to smoke this stuff called AM10. It's a new strain. It's not really out yet. And so that's exactly what I have over there in my Tupperware. I'm about to roll one up and just let my palate just enjoy all the little fruity flavors in that product right there.
Awesome. Great, man. Well, hey, it's been really great talking to you. I love this book. It's out now. It's called Becoming Legend. Any other ways people could keep up with you, what you're dropping, what you're putting out there?
Yeah, definitely follow my ex. It's Burner 415, BERNER 415. Same with Twitter, or same with Instagram. I'm very active on those platforms, so stay tuned.
Excellent. We will. All right, man. Thanks so much. This has been great.
Appreciate it, brother.